Luke 9:23 and 24 tells us this. You guys can look there in your Bibles. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." It's good stuff, huh? You know, when we think about cross-bearing, when we think about denying ourselves, we're going to get into this morning. One of the things that's always stood out to me ever since I was saved was the fact that I don't know if it was just because I became a Christian and I started noticing that people would wear really big crosses around their necks. And I'm not talking about decorative jewelry. I kind of hung out with a lot of skate kids and urban kids, and I started noticing that people would, you know, the bigger the cross was and the more bling that it had, the more attention it would get, you know. And I started saying, "Why are you wearing such a big cross around your neck?" And then I started noticing, even in Austin, that at certain times of the year, there would be people that would literally carry gigantic wooden crosses around town. And I would go, "Why are they doing that?" You know, and I would sort of ponder that. And as I began to study the scriptures, I realized, oh, okay, Jesus talked about bearing our cross. And again, obviously, you might say, well, I don't know if carrying a real wooden cross around is exactly what the Lord had in mind. I think for some it might be, because it really depends on this. And pay attention to what I'm saying. The truth is, anything that has to do with following Jesus is a cross to bear. So, you know, Jesus could say, hey, carry a wooden, gigantic wooden cross around town just to, you know, testify of the fact that God's working in your life, and or that, you know, he wants other people to carry the cross, you know. So it really has to do with anything the Lord asks us to do in following him. But I want to sort of underline an important fact, because when it comes to carrying our crosses, when it comes to cross-bearing, it has to do with anything that involves calling. If the Lord's called you to do something, make food for someone, share the gospel with someone, pray for someone in person with your whole heart, you know, there's going to be so many different things. Cross-bearing has to do with calling. And because Jesus is molding, he's shaping us, he's calling us to go certain places and do certain things. Some of you, even today, maybe it's on your mind. The Lord has put something on your heart to do or to be a part of, or to even not be a part of. The Lord's leading you in your life. He's working. He's directing you. This is this idea. He's molding us. He's shaping us. You know what that's called in the Bible? It's a great word. It's called discipleship. Because we get saved and we're regenerated, we're made into new people, but it doesn't stop there because, well, let me put it to you this way, and I think the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer say it the best. And by the way, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a martyr of the Nazis, who was a committed believer and who is someone that is really kind of resounds in church history, even in this recent times. Listen to what he said. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Salvation without discipleship is cheap grace." It's true. If you're saved and you never follow the Lord and bear the cross or go the directions he tells you to go and allow the Lord to work in you, you've accepted that grace, but you've made it cheap because, well, the Lord wants you to grow. He has a purpose. He didn't save us just for us to sit on our hands and do nothing, but for us to be a part of his work. And that looks so different for so many people. Be careful, because everybody has a calling, and many people have different callings, different things that God wants them to do. Today, Jesus challenges his disciples with these words, and really anyone who would desire to follow him, to meet three conditions to be real disciples. There's three conditions that are presented here, three things in order for us to be his disciples. So as we look into this pinnacle statement, we're really just going to study verse 23. I sort of just read 24 just for kind of context. But as we look at verse 23, this pinnacle statement, Jesus is, he's challenging us to be cross-bearing Christians. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a cross-bearing Christian? It's a good thing to write down. It's a thing to consider. As we look at this, we're going to learn those conditions. He wanted his disciples to basically see something very important. He wanted them to consider three things if they were serious about following him. Now pay attention. I want to sort of say this with you guys looking at me. Three conditions if you're serious about being a disciple. You say, yeah, I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to be a disciple. Okay, these three things. What are those three things? Listen, number one, self-suppression. In verse 23 at the beginning. Then we see also another condition is self-sacrifice in the middle of verse 23. And then at the end of verse 23, self-surrender. So suppression, sacrifice, surrender. Now, I'll explain what I mean by these things. And obviously those words aren't necessarily found there, but it's obvious what the Lord is trying to say. Listen, make no mistake. Being a Christian, becoming a Christian is absolutely free. We've been learning through the book of Romans that we could never earn God's favor, that we're all just completely unworthy, and no one can point a finger at anyone else and say, I'm better than you. We're all messed up. It's only by grace, and it's free. It's something that we do not earn, but while salvation is free, discipleship is extremely costly. It's pricey. And many times, I think it's hilarious when we pray prayers like, Lord, help me grow. Lord, work in my life. And then we get mad at God because he allows stuff to happen. And imagine how annoying that is to the Lord. Well, I thought you prayed for growth, so I allowed your car to break down. Well, I thought you prayed to understand the truth better, so I put a bunch of cultists around you so that they would try to tell you lies and you would learn what is true. There's just so many ways God answers this prayer. And a lot of times I think we would do ourselves a favor, and I say this to myself all the time, don't be an attention deficit disciple. But it's costly. And God answers our prayers by sending us and allowing us to go through hard things. He says, hey, I want you to pioneer this new area of ministry. I want you to be a part of this work. And it all sounds great and it's all wonderful. And then it gets really hard and we go, what happened? Nothing. That's the purpose in going down that road, is that it's going to get hard. We have to keep in mind that Jesus is talking here in these verses about discipleship, not about sonship, not about adoption into the family of God, not about faith in Jesus Christ and becoming children of God. We've already been children of God. Now we're called to be disciples of God. We're called to be students. So Jesus gives the disciples some pretty straightforward mandates for being a follower in their lives, really following Jesus. So that first part of being a cross-bearing Christian is self-suppression. I want you to look with me again at verse 23 and just notice the first part of verse 23 and what it says. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Self-suppression here is really just another way of saying self-denial. And it means putting aside what we want to do for what God wants. The old school theologian John Calvin once said something very good. I love this quote. He said, no man is qualified to be a disciple of Christ until he has been divested of self. It's true. Old school language for saying, unless you're willing to put yourself aside, you really cannot be a student of Jesus. Vance Havner, a great Bible teacher, once said that our Lord made discipleship hard and lost many prospective followers because he called them, listen very carefully, pay attention to this, he called them to pilgrimage, not to a parade, to a fight, not to a frolic. A lot of times, people don't understand that when you follow Jesus, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult. Now, is it worth it? Absolutely. Is it difficult? Yes. But there are so many benefits from going the direction God would want you to go. Remember that Jesus has just told his disciples in this context, and if you actually study through the book of Luke, which we did many years ago, in chapter 9 is when Jesus, and you go, wow, because there's a lot more left in Luke, even after chapter 9, it goes all the way to chapter 24, Jesus told his disciples in chapter 9, it says that he set his face steadfastly to Jerusalem. He was already looking forward to the cross early on in the Gospel of Luke, making that journey towards Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem to die. Even right before these verses, he told them, I'm going to go and be killed. You want to follow me? Here's what it takes. Because a lot of times, and people didn't get it, and you know the disciples didn't understand it, because they talked their mom into coming into Jesus and saying, look, hey, when you establish your kingdom, will you let these guys be your right-hand men? James and John, of course. And Jesus tells her, well, you don't even know what you're asking, because this first trip that I'm making to earth is for me to suffer and die. So a lot of times, people don't understand that when it comes to being a Christian, you're actually choosing to go down a road that's going to be difficult, but it's going to be worth it. But we have to always remind ourselves that God has really cool ways of teaching us, training us, and growing us. And I've always liked to coin this idea. Many of us have seen the 80s version of the Karate Kid. You guys remember Mr. Miyagi? You know, Pat Morita didn't even have an accent like that. It's kind of funny. He sort of made that up for the movie. He sounded like just a total Californian, but he had Mr. Miyagi, you know, for his role there. But in that movie, he teaches this kid how to do karate and does all these basic painting the fence and waxing the car and all this stuff. And so I've always called it being Mr. Miyagi'd by God. That God has a way of taking us through very regular activities in life, and he's preparing us for the things that he has ahead. But we can't understand that at the time we're going through it. We get frustrated, we get irritated, only to find out later that the Lord was working and using that. And so the prerequisite that's found here is in verse 23 at the beginning that says, if anyone desires to come after me. Now, the word desires, it refers to is determined, has chosen, prefers. So anytime we make a choice, we say, Lord, I've really determined that I want to follow you. We need to be prepared. If we're a Christian, and even if we've walked away from the Lord, we come back to the Lord, God's gracious, and he picks us up and dusts us off and sends us on the right path. But anytime we want to get serious with God, we have to understand that it's going to get tough, but it's going to be worth it if we stay on track. When Jesus speaks of a person who desires to come after him, he's speaking of someone who wants to be a disciple. So make no mistake, if you pray prayers that have to do with discipleship, if you make decisions that lead you down a road of being a disciple, you're going to be challenged. That is real Christianity. Christianity really has to do with being enriched, being changed, being conformed to the image of Christ, not about entertainment, comfort, and ease. The closest contemporary word to disciple is something that we would commonly think of today as an apprentice. I want to be an apprentice of Jesus. Well, there's going to be some hard things involved with that. Disciple is more than just a student who learns by means of lectures and books or just information. There's a very practical part of this. A true disciple is one who learns by living and working with his teacher in a daily sort of hands-on experience. And this is what Jesus is talking about. If you want to walk with me, if you want to be a follower of me, you have to understand it involves discipleship. And the fact is, too many Christians are content to be listeners who gain a lot of knowledge, but who have never put that knowledge into practice. Jesus is challenging this mentality directly as he shares about true discipleship. Someone once said this is sort of one of those anonymous quotes throughout the ages, that it costs to follow Jesus Christ, but it costs more not to follow Jesus Christ. You know that's absolutely true. And even if you trust Christ and you're saved, but you choose not to follow him in your life, you're going to miss out on everything that God has for you in this life. And if you choose never to trust Christ or follow Christ, you're going to miss out on eternity. So he talks about this prerequisite, self-denial. This is this mandate, let him deny himself. Deny means to disown or abstain. I want to say as a side note that I think part of us understanding what it means to deny ourselves is understanding this important part of prayer, a principle that comes up in prayer when it comes to just connecting with the Lord, is if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. That if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our heart. So in other words, here's what I'm saying. If we're seeking the Lord and wanting what He wants, we're going to have desires to go and do certain things. And yes, they're going to be hard, but it has a lot to do with connecting with the desires the Lord has and putting aside our own. Because if we simply stand around and say, you know what, I want to follow Jesus, I want to do what He wants, but I'm not really interested in hearing His desires, it's going to be harder to deny self. But if we're saying to ourselves, Lord, I want to do Your will, what are You wanting to do? As we're aiming our thoughts, our prayers, our mindset towards that, it's much easier for us to disown or abstain from what we want when we're preoccupied with what He wants. Jesus is saying here, first and foremost, that if anyone wants to be a disciple, they have to disown or abstain from their own selfish desires. See, guys, the way of the cross wasn't about self-promotion or self-affirmation. The person carrying a cross knew that they couldn't save themselves, and that self was destined to die. Denying yourself means to live as an others-centered person. Jesus was the only person, of course, to do this, absolutely perfect, but we're to follow in His steps. And so in thinking about that idea of self-suppression, that's the first part of being a cross-bearing Christian, is understanding, sort of owning the fact that we have to deny ourselves and really be a disciple of Christ. So what does this really mean? It means for us to be willing to let go of our own selfish desires and earthly securities. For us to say, Lord, I want to just be close to You. And You put those desires into my life. I recently quoted this, but I'll quote it again, Galatians 2:20, where Paul sort of illustrated this fact. He said these words, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. One of my favorite quotes about this passage comes from John Corson, who was a Calvary Chapel pastor for a long period of time and still is today. But he said this, he said, get a life, people say. Here's how, and he goes into it, he says, get a life by dying to self. Not by asserting yourself, not by pampering yourself, not by changing yourself, but by dying to self. It's true. When we deny ourselves, when we suppress the flesh and our self, we are prone to walk in the Spirit and do and follow the ways of God. Of course, let's just sort of zoom out and consider that the entire world around us says, don't suppress self. Give in to self, follow self, do whatever self wants. I mean, if anything should be the title of the news today, it's this is what following self will do in your life. But whenever we follow the Lord, He calls us to do things that many times don't make a whole lot of sense on the front side. Sometimes there are things that are very practical, very down to earth. But that's part of us suppressing self, denying ourselves. And so the second part of being a cross-bearing Christian is, well, he tells us here, is self-sacrifice in that phrase, and take up his cross. Listen, self-sacrifice is the idea of choosing every day to do what Titus did, that Paul talks to in the New Testament, fulfill our ministry. The Bible tells us, we're going to come to this in Romans 12:1-2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I love the New King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I strongly encourage you to present yourselves as living sacrifices. self-sacrifice is so important. But I've always thought to myself, it's funny the way Greg Laurie explains this. He says that it's the problem with self-sacrifice is that we're living sacrifices and we always want to get off the altar. We always want to run away. So true. But self-sacrifice has to do with cross-bearing. And this is the idea here. It was bad enough for the disciples to hear that Jesus would suffer, be rejected, and die on the cross. And now he tells them that they have to do the same thing. That was first century Christianity. Hey, the way of the cross is dying to self and giving yourself up for the purposes of God. Look, let me explain something to you. There is nothing greater than finding God's will for your life, putting aside your own agenda and picking up His. Because it is something that will in eternity be remembered. The fact was, crucifixion was a terrible thing to even think on the horizon. Terrible way to die. The Bible predicted that, of course, the Messiah would suffer these things. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. Jesus knew what was ahead. And so he's really just saying practically to his disciples, look, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my students, you're going to have to take up your cross. Now, it's known pretty reliably through church history that Peter was crucified upside down, that other disciples were tortured in similar regards. But the truth is, Jesus wasn't saying to all Christians for all time, you have to go and be crucified on a Roman wooden cross like he was. He was speaking metaphorically, saying that you have something you're supposed to carry and do and be a part of with your life. You know, I love watching how God does this. There's so many creative ways that God uses us. So many different things the Lord would call us to carry and be a part of. But we have to say no to ourselves to follow the right path initially. Not simply doing what pleases us or just doing what we want, but it's saying, Lord, I put everything down and say, you tell me what to do. For me, I always like to illustrate this because I was, when I got saved at 19, I was really just an idol worshiper in the sense that I worshiped skateboarding and spent most of my teenage years bleeding everywhere and waxing curbs and causing physical damage to the city, you know, and just one of those skate kids that just, I couldn't get enough of skateboarding. And when I got saved, I realized that it was something that I idolized in my life and I put it away with no intention of ever picking it back up. Put it in the closet along with my skateboarding shoes, which as some of you know, I'm wearing skateboarding shoes right now. That's a big deal. And I'll never forget, a month after I was saved, the Lord said, okay, I know you're serious. I know you've given this up, but I want you to pick this up and I want you to use this because you've spent all this time and I want you to use this as a way of promoting me. Start here in your old neighborhood. And that's what I did. But only because the Lord told me to do it. So be careful if you're a musician, if you're a professional athlete, or you're gifted in some regard, and as a Christian, you don't first say, Lord, take this. I don't want this in my life first. Because those things can end up sort of transitioning from being an idol in the world without God to being an idol in your Christianity with God. All of this that Jesus is saying means to be identified with Him with surrender, suffering, and sacrifice. We can't crucify ourselves. We can only yield ourselves to what the Lord wants us to do. So not just cross-bearing. Jesus said, take up your cross, but notice what it says, take up your cross daily. So, you know, Jesus didn't just say, hey, with your life, you're going to have a cross to bear. He said, yeah, and it's just this one-time event. No, it's a daily thing. Wow. And sometimes those crosses can vary from day to day. Take up your cross daily. Everybody knew what Jesus meant when he said take up his cross. It was an instrument of death. To then say to take up your instrument of death every day, that's a pretty strong statement. And the cross wasn't about religious ceremonies. It wasn't about traditions. It wasn't about spiritual feelings. The cross was the way to execute people. So the truth is, if somebody from the first century walked around in our day and age, they were around Roman crosses, they'd see these crosses and be, what are you wearing that for? It's like somebody coming around 200 years from now and having an electric chair on a necklace around their neck. Why are you wearing an electric chair around your neck? That's just crazy. It was an instrument of execution. Sometimes we forget that because, you know, although the symbol of the cross points very meaningfully to us as believers, it was an instrument of death. But Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Taking up your cross is us choosing to do what the Lord's called us to do. Sometimes it's different from day to day. Sometimes it's a continuation of what He's called us to do day by day. There are trials, there are hardships always involved with bearing our cross. There's so many different ways that this plays out. Take up your cross daily. And our cross comes from standing true in saying, Lord, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to go in the direction You've called me to go, and I'm going to be consistent. There are crosses in so many forms and fashions that the Lord has brought into our lives. Our jobs can be a cross that we're called to bear. Our difficulties in life, there's just so many examples of it that you could really name every area. The Lord has allowed you to go through this, and it's something He wants you to bear and be a part of and grow from. Be encouraged today. If you're going through something that seems to weigh you down and it's something that you had no control over and something you feel like maybe initially was something from God, remember, if it gets hard, that just means it's definitely from God, usually, is that He's allowed this to happen. But the question becomes this, when it comes to modern Christianity, there's a lot of people out there that say, if you're a Christian, everything should just be smooth, no problems, no troubles, no difficulties. And you know, guys, that brand of Christianity, it fills auditoriums all across this country. God wants you to be rich. Poof, everybody shows up. Boom. What if God calls you to do something that puts you at financial risk? Or puts you in a place that it's risky and it's hard and it doesn't necessarily work out for your profit, but sometimes God calls us to do things that don't make fiscal sense. They don't make sense money-wise. You just got to make sure you know it's the Lord leading you. But if you're thinking about buying a car and it's 30% interest, that's not the Lord. Just so you know. God would never want you to have 30% interest on a car loan. That's just not right. Being cross-bearing Christians has everything to do with realizing our ministry to other people and that when it's carried out, it's an actual act of worship. So again, understand there's a lot of ministries we have in our lives. We have a ministry to our spouse. We have a ministry to our kids. We have a ministry to our coworkers. We have a ministry to our fellow believers within the church. And we have to understand that if we're serious about following Jesus, those areas, we might butt heads with people. We might have difficulties, but that's part of growing. Many times God calls us to do something that makes life more challenging. So for a lot of us, it's funny, I had to remember myself, I prayed for kids, and then I had kids. I didn't carry the kids. My poor wife did. But, you know, you have these kids, and then you go, and mine are 17 and 15, and you know, and it's just like, okay, Lord, I remember praying for this, and it's hard, but I have a ministry to my kids. It's a calling. It has its good times, it has its hard times, it has its difficult times. And my kids are great, but you know, being a parent sometimes is a little nerve-wracking, to say the least. But many times when we only want to serve the Lord, we only want to have a ministry that meets our conditions and fits conveniently into our lives, we avoid true discipleship. Because we're going, no, Lord, I only want to walk with you when it's convenient, when it fits into my little box. And you know what God's in the business of doing? Squishing those boxes. I remember something, and you might be shocked by this, but when I first became a Christian, I tell you the story about me skateboarding, and I put it down, I picked it up, I started doing it as a ministry. Well, I prayed, I said, Lord, I need some ramps. And then, it's funny because the guy that's actually not too far from us here, Pastor Bob Lane in Georgetown, he's a senior pastor of that Calvary there. He actually took me aside one day and he said, hey man, I think the Lord's calling me to make you skateboarding ramps. And I was like, it was like the light just came on from above the ceiling. Oh! I was like, oh dude, are you serious? You know, and I was just this young guy. I was like, oh sweet, bro. Hook me up. And so, he made the best ramps I've ever seen. They're still top notch, just amazing, lightweight, but strong. It was like, wow, this is amazing stuff. So he made all these ramps, and then somebody provided a bunch of money for a covered trailer, and then there was a $30,000 van to pull the trailer around, and then we could take the skate park to wherever and set it up, and then it was, hey, every week, on Saturdays we're setting up the skate park, and all these kids are coming around, and you might say, man, it sounds like a really fruitful ministry, but let me just tell you, when you get into it and you start doing it every week and it's the same stinky kids that show up, and they say the same ridiculous excuses for not wanting to follow Jesus, and you start getting a lot of pushback, a lot of warfare. And I remember myself being in a place where I had all this stuff that God had obviously done, and I remember sort of sitting and laying in the auditorium before I had to go do skate park that day thinking, man, I just wish it would rain. I'm so done, man. I'm so tired. I don't want to do this anymore. And then it was almost like just realizing at that point, look, you signed up for this. God provided. God did this. You need to go out there and be faithful whether you feel like it or not. And I'll never forget that, because who would have thought, if you would have told me that 2 years ago, hey, you're going to get burned out on doing skateboard ministry, I would have told you, you are crazy. You have lost your mind. I will never be upset for having children. Or for having a very challenging ministry, I will always be grateful. That's just not honest. We're going to be people that get burned out. I mean, how many of us pray for a spouse, we get married, and then we're like, this person is just annoying me. What is wrong with this person? We asked for it. And so that happened with me. And I've always tried to remember the skate park ministry, as something that God really used. He showed a lot of miraculous, amazing provision. But then I found myself downtrodden, burned out. And then the Lord reminded me of something that we need to remember when it comes to sacrifice, surrender, and denial, suppression of self. He wants to empower us to do what He's called us to do. So a lot of times He lets us get to the bottom of the barrel, lets us get to the end of our own resources so that we stop depending on ourselves and start depending upon Him and His power to do those things He calls us to do. So whatever ministry you have, whatever way God has called you to serve and bear your cross, remember, He hasn't called you to do it in your own strength. If you try to do it in your own strength, you will burn out and you will become a person that is really compelled to quit. Lean on the Lord, ask for His strength. And I can honestly say that I changed my viewpoint. I said, Lord, I have so much of an agenda. I think I was partly exhausted of doing skate park ministry for all those years because I had so many agendas involved. I was so strict about, I got to talk to every kid about Jesus for at least 10 minutes. Now, if you do that with a whole bunch of teenagers, that's just a formula for insanity. It really is. I mean, imagine chasing around stinky teenagers and trying to talk to them for at least 5 minutes. I had this whole agenda, and the Lord was like, look, you got to put your own stuff aside and just chill. Let me work through you. So that was a big help. But He wanted me to kind of get to the end of my own plans, the end of my own agenda. In Colossians 4, verse 17, Paul told Archippus, he told the Colossians, he said, to the Colossians, and say to Archippus, Take heed to the ministry which you have received from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. He also said similar things about Tychus and others. Fulfill means to furnish, finish, or complete. Paul was telling Archippus there in Colossians 4 to take what the Lord had given him to the fullest, most complete place possible. That's our calling. Take what God has called us to do to the next level, to the next place. Put yourself aside. And that's where next and finally we see that part of being a cross-bearing Christian is self-surrender. And this is the idea there at the end of verse 23. Notice what it says. And follow me. Three words. It's a continual following. Self-surrender is the idea of choosing every day to walk with the Lord. Choosing every day to do that thing for which the Lord has called us to do. We need to think about the cross all the time. We need to think about completing, putting aside our own agenda and saying, Lord, what do you want to do with this area you've called me to? Following Jesus. Follow. The original word means to be in the same way with someone. Be in the same way with Jesus. But it's important to understand that in the original language, this was written in Greek, it was in the present imperative, indicating that following has to be something that's continual. So this isn't just follow once. This is follow on a continual, ongoing basis. What good is self-denial or self-suppression? What good is self-sacrifice if we don't continually surrender with consistency and perseverance? I mean, the same can be said. What good is going on a diet for 2 days and doing it well and then saying, but I really want to eat Oreos, and then just boom. You just wasted all those 2 days. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, by the way, but, you know. Sometimes, what good is it for us to pursue an area of ministry and then just completely abandon it? We have to continually surrender and remember, okay, Lord, you told me to stick, I'm going to stick with it. Classic, always too soon to quit. Following Jesus doesn't mean walking behind Him, walking in front of Him, but walking side by side with Him. Being a cross-bearing Christian means that we're following with the Lord, alongside of Him, for the long haul, doing those things the Lord has called us to do. That's why Jesus told Peter in Matthew 4, verse 19, He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We can really think about it this way. He, in essence, was really saying, big picture to Peter, look, if you continually follow me, the way I helped you catch this fish, which is pretty awesome, is the same way you're going to catch men and lead people to saving faith. Jesus also taught His disciples in John 10, verse 27, He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's not just once, that's on an ongoing basis. Jesus also said in John 12, 26, He said, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Many times, we have to distinguish between hearing the Lord's call and heeding the Lord's call. Sometimes the Lord will call us to do something, but then make us wait a certain amount of time before we actually do that thing for which He calls us to do. But just being tuned in to what He wants us to do is very important when it comes to bearing the cross. Finding that purpose for which God has in our lives. Many times we need to understand that we need other people around us to be encouraged in what God's called us to do. So many times we're actually unaware of things that God has brought into our lives that He's called us to, and we need someone who's objective, who's not subjected to our own emotions, to then come along and say, look, God's working in your life. Keep going in this way. That's why we need to be in fellowship. So with this illustration, with these challenging words that Jesus makes, He's giving us a very important description of the Christian life. For believers today, it means us understanding that we totally belong to the Lord. He wants to work in us and through us. But are we willing to follow Him? Are we willing to stay the course? Are we willing to say, Lord, help me put aside my own agenda and pick up yours? What are the ways you want to use me? I really believe that there are many obvious callings in our lives. There's many things the Lord, you know, would sort of say to us if we asked Him, well, duh, I want you to minister to your spouse. Duh, I want you to minister to your kids. But there's one in particular that we have to understand. Jesus told His disciples, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Telling other people about Jesus and how to be saved, well, that's definitely something that needs to be important to all of us. Being an influence for Christ. We have a calling. We have a cross. The question is, are we praying and open to find out what that is? If you know what it is and you can identify those things in your life and you've sort of been finding out and walking with the Lord and all this, don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't rely on yourself. Trust Christ. Say, Lord, help me. I need your strength. I need your power. I need the Holy Spirit to work in me and through me. Don't give up. Resting in His call is about being a cross-bearing Christian. And I want to just encourage you guys today as we finish out this time and this message that for us, when it comes to bearing our cross, is understanding there's great excitement that surrounds the Christian life. It's an awesome thing to understand that God has a purpose in even mundane things in life. He wants to work in us and through us, but we need His perspective. We need to allow the Lord to help put away our self, to pick up His agenda, to pick up His plan and His direction. His cross, His purpose is the best one to possibly have.